The jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Welcome to this episode of the Hagmann and Hagmann Report, where we're coming to you live from our radio and television studios located in beautiful Northwest Pennsylvania. Folks, you know that we broadcast live each and every weeknight. That's Monday through Friday, of course, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Global Star Radio Network. Of course, we're simulcast on our official YouTube channel. There you can tune us in as well on Blog Talk Radio. You can tune us in all from HagmannandHagmann.com. That's HagmannandHagmann.com. And, of course, we've got, don't forget, we've got a number of different websites, two very important websites, HagmannandHagmann.com for our show, and, of course, HagmannReport.com for news and information. That's HagmannReport.com and HagmannandHagmann.com. Bookmark both. I'm Doug Hagmann, the helm with fellow investigator, researcher, and most importantly, my son, Joe Hagmann. Together, we are the Hagmann and Hagmann Report. It's something that I like to call America's premier father-son investigative reporting team. I'm going to dispense with all of the housekeeping issues, except to say that portions of the nice broadcast brought to you by WholeTonesLive.com. WholeTonesLive.com. Visit WholeTonesLive.com for your dose of inspirational, informational, music, healing music. That's WholeTonesLive.com. More on that later. But we're so pleased coming right out of the box here, right out of the chute, because her time is so critically important, valuable, and she's up against the gun all of the time with her schedule. We have, as our very special guest, Ms. Chris Ann Hall. That's Chris Ann Hall. She's a constitutional attorney. She's an author, a tremendous speaker. She also is a radio host, and her website is chrisannhall.com. It's linked off of HagmannandHagmann.com, but it's K-R-I-S. Okay, folks, pay attention to the spelling now. K-R-I-S-A-N-N-E. That's chrisannhall.com. During the Oregon, I don't want to say standoff, but during the Oregon, situation that took place and it wasn't a surrender, but basically a change of venue, of the protesters. Chris Ann Hall, I listened to this live. I was so impressed, having 30 years ago, in my other life, I suppose, being a part of emergency medical response and such, having seen some situations exactly which she was thrust into go badly. I listened with rapt attention to with her as she was talking with the individuals, or the one lone individual that was holding out, and she just she did a job that I just felt pride, and I felt that the Holy Spirit working through her, and she just did such a wonderful job in defusing, and I believe it was her and her alone that defused a potentially bad situation. Before we bring her on, Joe, I just want to bring you on, and then you go ahead and bring Ms. Hall on.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Looking forward to the show tonight. Again, constitutional attorney, radio show host, author, speaker, and more, Chris Ann Hall is joining us. Again, her website, chrisannhall.com, K-R-I-S-A-N-N-E-H-A-L-L.com. With that, Ms. Hall, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I am very honored to be here. I want to thank you for inviting me.
Well, it's our pleasure to have you. Right before the show, and because of your demanding schedule, I mean, you're all over the country all the time, just about. We really didn't have a lot of chance to speak, folks. And this interview is actually really from the heart. It's being led by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. And we're going to go in places that we don't even know where we're going to go yet. But You know, with that introduction, I guess the first place to start here, Ms. Hall, is this. I almost want to say, what were you thinking when you were thrust into that position? But seriously, you were marvelous with the Lavoie Finnegan, Oregon, the Mulher Ranch, with Reverend Graham. You were instrumental in defusing that situation. Can you give us like the rundown for people who aren't really familiar with that? Because you did such a great job.
Well, you know, the Oregon situation is the beginning of the culmination of such frustration in the hearts and minds and lives and spirits of our ranchers and farmers who have been battling with the federal government on the federal government's playing grounds for over 50 years. And I think that's something that people really don't understand. They look at what happened and we have a tendency in human nature to play armchair quarterback. And to say, you know, they did it wrong. This is how they should have done it. They never should have done this. They never should have done that. But I think a lot of, like I was saying, we simply do not understand how long this battle has been going on over land rights. The federal government has been taking land. Literally sometimes inch by inch from our ranchers and farmers for over 50 years. And when our ranchers and farmers have to oppose the Bureau of Land Management or the Federal Forestry Service or the EPA or any of these federal agencies, they don't get to fight them in a regular court like you or I would handle a civil dispute. When you oppose an executive agency, you oppose them in what we call an administrative law court, which means the court is created by that agency, ruled over by a judge who's employed by that agency, whose task is to determine whether the agency is following its rules properly or not. This is a banana republic kangaroo court by all definitions. And so the farmers and the ranchers have been playing this game with the federal government for over 50 years, watching the federal government split the baby, as it were, saying, okay, well, the federal government can have this portion of the land and the landowners can have this portion of the land, only for years later having the federal government come in and renege on their deal and start taking more land. I mean, it's become absurd. In Texas, we have a family where the landowner died and the inheritance of the land went to probate. Well, while it was in probate to determine the proper heir, the Bureau of Land Management filed itself in probate court as an heir to the estate. This is the ridiculous nature that we have. And we have families who have been fighting in these kangaroo courts now for generations, only losing money. I mean, talking hundreds of thousands of dollars in court fees, and only to get nothing in return. And so what we have now is a situation where we have farmers and ranchers that are feeling desperate. I mean, they've lost everything. Their livelihood, the livelihood of their family members, of their grandchildren, have been stolen from them. And so, we like I said, we're reaching the point of desperation, and it's amazing that these farmers and ranchers are able to actually hold their composure together. I mean, we see leftist groups going violent and blowing up buildings like the Weather Underground, and the environmental extremists blowing up things for fractions of the theft that these farmers and ranchers are studying and are tolerating. And so what we had the occupation of the federal building, which, by the way, was an unoccupied federal building that nobody ever used and was peacefully occupied by these protesters. And when the FBI was able, several groups of people plus the FBI were able to negotiate free passage. There were four people that said, you know, we don't feel satisfied with this. We are not leaving. And so, there were those who were able to convince the four that it was time to, like you said, move the protest to a new venue. We're not quitting. We're just changing the venue so that we can be more productive in the message. And the day of passage was arranged, and three of the four protesters left. The fourth man, David Fry, refused to leave. It became apparent that there was some emotional instability there, and some outside influences that were somehow influencing him. And you realize this is a spiritual battle, right? This is not a battle between the American people and the Bureau of Land Management. This is a spiritual battle, and he was obviously being spiritually attacked. And I didn't call to negotiate. There was nothing to negotiate. I called. I was asked to call in to talk about the things that we're doing legislatively and educationally to inform people and educate them on the unlawful nature of the federal government's occupation of land in the West, and the Constitution's point of delegation of land, the limited nature of that delegation, and the rights reserved to the states within their own land. So we're talking about groups and legislators and legislation that's being passed and being put forward that is changing the dynamics of the federal government's land ownership and awakening the realities of constitutional limitations for the federal government and the land ownership rights of the states and the people. And then it all sort of turned.
If I can jump in here, I'd just like to ask you, how much, you know, of these land grabs and the federalization of land that we're seeing is allowed in the Constitution versus how much has been able to be accomplished through, you know, executive orders or other administrative rulemaking through the Federal Register?
Okay, well, the Constitution is very clear on this matter. The only land that the federal government can exercise jurisdiction over in Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17 is 10 miles square for the capital of the federal government, Washington, D.C., and the land and buildings necessary for forts, ports, and dockyards, as long as they have consent of the state and they have purchased this land from the state under the principles of the Fifth Amendment of eminent domain. That's it. So if it's not a fort, a port, a dockyard, if it's not 10 miles square for Washington, D.C., the federal government has no constitutional authority to exercise ownership superior to the states. Article 4, Section 3, Clause 2 talks about the federal government's ability to have territories. Territories are not land that is owned by the federal government. Territories are lands that are held in trust for future states. And once a territory becomes a state that is admitted into the Union, it is now a state. It's no longer a territory. And as Thomas Jefferson explained in the very first Bureau of Land Management, which was properly established, by the way, was that once the land becomes a state, it is to never return to the federal government. And so these national forests were not created via constitutional authority. They were created through unconstitutional congressional act. And any exercise of power over land beyond a territory, beyond forts, ports, and dockyards, beyond 10 miles square, is land that has been acquired by the federal government, exercising power by the federal government contrary to the Constitution, but a power that has been expanded by the federal government on its own.
Gotcha. And folks, what you're hearing, or our very special guest tonight, is Chris Ann Hall, chrisannhall.com, linked off of HagmanandHagman.com. What I like to really refer to is, well, imagine Pastor David Langford, who is just a marvelous biblical walking Bible, shall we say. Chris Ann Hall is just like Pastor Langford, but a walking the Constitution. I mean, she knows. I'm amazed at her knowledge of the Constitution, in sum and substance. So, all right, fantastic answer to that. So, really, what we're seeing here then is just all of this is unconstitutional. Everything that we're seeing taking place, and no one, what is it, Ms. Hall? Is it ignorance? Is it apathy by the people? Is it mischaracterization by the press? Or is it all of the above?
Well, it's all of the above, but it's all driven by ignorance. The apathy is a result of the ignorance. The misdirection by the media is the result of ignorance. The power exercised by the federal government and sanctioned by the Supreme Court of the United States all circulates around ignorance. We have... for over 200 years now, we've allowed the Supreme Court to define its own power, and we've allowed the Supreme Court to define the federal government's power. We no longer look to the Constitution itself as the definitive creator of the federal government, as the definitive definer of federal power. We look to a branch of the federal government to define the power delegated to the federal government. So what we've constructively done is allowed part of the federal government to define the whole of the federal government, which is completely contrary to the intent of our framers. James Madison told us in 1800 that the federal government, even through the judiciary, was governed in matters of constitution by the states, not the other way around. And so what we have through decades of errant education about the federal government and its proper role, we fundamentally created a kingdom in America where the people are ruled by an oligarchy of nine kings and queens. We say things like the Supreme Court issues rulings and we call court cases the law of the land, when nothing could be further from the truth. Courts don't issue rulings. Courts issue opinions. And according to Article 3 of the Constitution and Article 6, Clause 2, their opinions are no more binding on us than your next-door neighbors when they don't follow the Constitution.
Yeah, and if I can jump in here, actually, the president has a SCOTUS blog, I think it was February 22nd, where he wrote...
That's independent.
Right. He wrote a short summary on what he expects from his next Supreme Court, from the next Supreme Court justice, and where he said it is the job of the Supreme Court not to make law, only to interpret it, which goes, you know, in the complete opposite direction of what they actually do. And a frequent guest of ours, Greg Jackson, has made some excellent points in this area, you know, pointing out that these are just merely opinions of the Supreme Court, and they have somehow turned into this issue of judicial supremacy where they become the law of the land, and the people do have a recourse, you know, again, to take and a leg to stand on legally when, you know, talking about what you just said, they are and do not make binding law, yet their opinions have, for some reason, been used as binding law, even though the president, in his own words, say that's not the case.
But he doesn't mean it. But the fact is, I mean, we're being gamed, I guess. People are, and the ignorance factor, which you valiantly, your educational classes are just so tremendous. I've gotten emails from a lot of people who have told me, you know, look, you've got to make sure that you really promote these, because what you, the information you provide, really wakes people up. But yeah, yes, what you just mentioned, Miss Hall, is this, or something that really gets my goat. I'm sorry, but people hear the word Supreme Court decision. You're right. It's an opinion. Obergefell. It's not the law of the land, is it? The Supreme Court decisions, they're not the law of the land.
Right. No, they're not. They're just simply opinions. And until we can regain our understanding of the Constitution, it's unfortunate that we will continue to create an oligarchy that doesn't exist. As long as we continue to to refer to them as law, as long as we continue to refer to them as rulings and we continue to comply with them, even when they're contrary to the Constitution, then it's a power that they will exercise beyond their authority. It takes the people standing up to this. I teach about 265 lessons in over 22 states every year, and I'm blessed to be able to teach high school, middle school students, college students, adult groups. I teach religious liberty in the churches. I teach state legislators. I teach law enforcement. And I'm able to teach then in that avenue the proper role of government. What is the proper role of the states? What power was delegated to the federal government? And as Sam Adams said, no people will tamely surrender their liberties nor be easily subdued when knowledge is diffused and virtue is preserved. He said, but on the contrary, when a people become universally ignorant and debauched in their manners, they will sink underneath their own weight without the aid of foreign invaders. And that's our problem. We are sinking because we do not understand our government, and our government is ruling and reigning over us when we're supposed to be governed through equal representation as a constitutional republic.
Amen to that. You know, Ms. Hall, I know our time is extremely limited with you because of your punishing schedule, and I respect that. So, we have so many people who are just right now sending us so many emails with questions and compliments on what you do. I'll tell you what. Why don't you just do this? Tell us what you believe because of our limited time with you. Go ahead and tell us what you believe is most important. What's on your heart, on your mind, whether it be the election, whether it be the Supreme Court nomination, whether it be terrorism, it doesn't matter. Whatever the subject is, we want you to set the agenda and topic. What's on your heart? And
well, I think what's important here is to realize that we are coming to a point where people are beginning to feel desperate. We're physically feeling the infringement of our liberties and our God-given rights. And we are becoming overwhelmed by the level of corruption and power being exercised by our federal government. And so we're looking for a savior. And I just want to impress upon people to please stop looking to the presidential elections as a savior, because that will only increase the overwhelmed feeling and the disappointment, because no matter who we elect, they will not succeed in the manner that we need them to succeed. Our real solution is through our state and local governments, where we have the real control, because the states have the power to step up and tell the federal government, we will not comply with your laws when they are not consistent with the Constitution. The states have that power. They're waking up to that power, and they're exercising that power. And the only way we're going to get this federal government under control is if we can get local and state governments and sheriffs that will defend the Constitution and the liberties of the people in the face of this far and overreaching federal government. And I want to also tell people that I believe there is a great deal of hope. When we feel overwhelmed, when we feel overpowered, we must remember that history dictates that when people stand for liberty, they win. And if you are a believer in Christ, then you have to know that God is the author of our liberty, and he will come to our aid when we have the fortitude to stand. He's not going to defend a bunch of spoiled kids who run around and whine and want things from government in one way and then don't want them for another. He's going to stand with us when we stand for our liberty and for the gifts that he's given us. That is guaranteed. It's why I do what I do. It's why my family is on the road all the time with me, is because we believe that the price of liberty is still life, fortune, and sacred honor, and it's still worth it.
Oh, amen to that. Ms. Hall, again, I know your schedule is rough, but and I know that you were kind enough to give us 30 minutes here, and you're welcome if you have the opportunity to spend the rest of this segment with us. If you so choose, if your schedule does permit, but what you just said there, moving backwards, I just want to make sure I offer that to you, but going back to what you just said, Where do you see right now? Where do you see the political machine that's out there? And this is a question we get asked all the time. Where do you see, even with this being an election year, with a new with a president coming in, whether it's Trump or whoever that person might be, do you see this anything changing, or does it have to? As you put it, it's got to change at the most basic of levels, but. Do you see us putting too much stock into the next president versus educating ourselves about the own, or educating ourselves about the Constitution and the local changes we can enact ourselves here locally?
Absolutely. Way too much hype in the presidential election. Way too much faith in a presidential candidate. There are 469 seats in Congress up for election this November, and we are still completely consumed with one office and two people. The bottom line is, if you really think that we're going to fix Washington, D.C. through Washington, D.C., which I don't believe is possible, you're not going to do it through the office of the president. You have to do it through the Congress. You have to do it through the House of Representatives. And so the real solution, federal government-wise, is through the 469 seats that are up for election in November. But when you multiply that by the fact that there are over 30,000 seats up for election in state and local government, where the people that you're electing are your next door neighbors and your doctors and your mechanics and the people you have dinner with and go to church with, that's where your real power lies. I have a book called Sovereign Duty, and the Sovereign Duty is my facilitation. It's not an opinion-based book. It's a book based on what our framers wanted us to do when our federal government gets out of control. They anticipated this government that we have today, and they wanted us to make sure that we learned from their lessons from history on how to control the federal government. And they never told us to control the federal government through the federal government. They told us to control it through our states and local governments. And so my book, Sovereign Duty, tells you about the constitutional sheriff, tells us about the nature of the Constitution, who wrote it, who's in control, the limited nature of the federal government, teaches nullification, it teaches about the Article 5 Convention, it teaches all of these things that our framers put into our hands to control a federal government that's consuming more power than delegated.
You know what, ladies and gentlemen, listening to this either live or ultimately via archive, Sovereign Duty, it's an ebook. It's under $10. It's the best $10 you will ever spend. And people always ask us, what can we possibly do? Well, I love your description. I love the description because you write, so get your boots on. The job is shovel ready. It's time to get to work. It's time to do our sovereign duty. You know, you go on. Do you want answers to the big debates about liberty? Well, do you want to be armed with the ammunition to defeat liberal lies? That, to me, you know, with folks, every email that I've gotten about the various issues, and I've got tens of thousands, that's not an exaggeration. At last count, it was 112,000 emails that we've gone through, or that this studio has received since January 1. Okay, so having said that, this is the book to every person who asks that question. Sovereign Duty is the book that you need to get, and everyone needs to get. You know, this is not an infomercial. This is an educational duty of ours.
And again, you can find that information in the YouTube episode, and below the description is the link to our website, as well as on our website and the Blog Talk link. But it's chrisannhall.com, K-R-I-S-A-N-N-E-H-A-L-L. chrisannhall.com.
I'd love to, I don't know, again, I don't want to impose upon your schedule. I'd love to, if you can stay with us a little longer, can you?
No, I'm sorry.
Okay,
but I promise that I will come back. If you want me to come back again, I will come back again. I promise you I will, but I'm not able to stay. I have an appointment that I'm supposed to be at now. So
okay. Well, look, I just want to say thank you so much for your time tonight, and thanks for squeezing us in so graciously. We will be talking about you after you leave, so your ears are burning. You're so gracious and so knowledgeable. Ms. Hall, thank you so very much for appearing.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
All right. Folks, that was Chris Ann Hall from ChrisAnnHall.com. What a gracious lady. And I'm serious. If you go to her website and if you look at her schedule, my word, okay, I thought we had a demanding schedule. No, we don't. Chris Ann Hall is, she is a wonderful educator. And I have to say this, the Sovereign Duty ebook is perhaps one of the most information-packed ebooks you'll ever get. If you're asking, what can we do? That's the book. I mean, and she really hits the nail on the head with the various. I mean, what about constitutional sheriffs? What about Article 5's nullification? Okay, learn the truth about state sovereignty. And everyone's got an opinion about nullification or state sovereignty or this or that. She speaks from a position of authority. She has the information. That was Chris Ann Hall. What a great honor to have her on for the length of time we did. And we're going to get her back. We're going to get her back on the show, right? So.
Yeah. Again, her book, Sovereign Duty.
And that's one of many. Joe, I mean, we were looking at her website earlier. My goodness. I don't know how she does it. Wow. Path to Restoring America ebook, also a great book. Roots of Liberty, Home School Education, and especially for those people who homeschool their children. If you're homeschooling your children or know anyone who is, then that DVD is an interesting companion, an essential, well, it's a primer and companion to her book, Essential Stories for Juror Patriots. Okay, it's really cool how they combine with one another. But we had to get her on because the demand is so there. Bob and Maggie, that was for you, okay, and many others. But she'll come back and be with us. And if you don't mind, folks who are listening to this, send her an email. Send her an email if you really want her back. Send her an email and tell her that you heard her on our program. Please.
Yeah.
And thank her for... Seriously, I kind of know what's going on, okay, schedule-wise with her. So, there was... I was kind of thinking, well, maybe plans had changed, but they didn't. Although it's not listed on her calendar, it's... What she's got to do tonight this week is extremely important. So there you have it. But did you hear what she said, though? We can make the difference. And it kind of goes along with what, Joe, with what Paul McGuire talks about, you know? We still have to occupy. Even if you're not of that mindset, we still have to occupy until the return of our Lord and Savior. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We are going to be joined by Stan Deo in the third hour.
Yes.
In the meantime, obviously, there is a lot of news to,
yes,
to get into.
Yes.
For those, I'm sure, who have followed, there has been multiple terrorist attacks in Brussels. Yeah. And one was at an airport and subway bombing. And it is looking like upwards of 30 people have been killed and hundreds more injured.
And it's coming to America.
You know, Ted Cruz,
what you're looking at is coming to America, Joe.
Ted Cruz blamed Trump for the attacks, actually. He says something along the lines of, is there any coincidence that, you know, just a few days ago Trump was calling for the U.S. to leave NATO and whatnot, you know, and somehow that his saying that aligned with this attack. Also, you know, I saw this article today. There's a video attached to it, and folks, you can go on Drudge or you can go on the Gateway Pundit. Glenn Beck bashes Christians for voting Trump, saying evangelicals have not been listening to their God, as he is quoting from the Book of Mormon.
Both Joe and I are very disturbed by this. Okay, beyond even words, we're very disturbed by what Glenn Beck said. Okay, now I've had, I'm just going to come right out and tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I've had communications with Glenn Beck and his staff, in the past. And something has changed.
Yeah. More than that, I mean, you know, he's aligning himself with Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz is actually saying some things that he had taken Donald Trump to task for. One, about not allowing Syrian refugees into the country. He has come out and said that now, where he was, you know, calling Trump a racist for that same stance. Now Ted Cruz embracing Bloomberg-era surveillance in New York City, or New York values on surveillance. This from the Wall Street Journal. Senator Ted Cruz, who frequently criticized billionaire Donald Trump for having New York values, came to an Upper East Side townhouse Tuesday and praised the policies of former New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg for his surveillance programs on Muslim Americans. Now, we see how the mainstream media, how these, I don't even want to call them protest groups, these occupationalists, these oppressive people in nature who are using fascist and oppressive tactics to stop and silence a political candidate in a Democratic election because they say he's fascist. But, I mean, they're using tactics that are say he is espousing. It's such hypocrisy. But going on with this...
Wait a second. Let's cut to the chase, though, on all of this, because you mentioned Glenn Beck, okay?
Yeah.
I truly believe, folks, and it's up to you to agree, disagree, whatever, but I truly believe this, what we're watching right now, is the preparation, is the takedown of Christianity, because they are equating Glenn Beck and Mormonism with Christianity. We don't worship the same God, folks.
Yeah, can you tell me where in the Bible it says to follow the teachings of the Book of Mormon?
What's the Book of Mormon?
Yeah.
It's kind of a circular footnote.
Yeah.
If you follow my logic.
Yeah, and scratches my... I just sit here and scratch my head and just wonder, you know, is the common sense so far removed from the average American citizen?
Yes.
That the media can just say anything, make up anything?
I believe they can.
And people believe it whole cloth. I'm actually reading emails and, different alternative media threads from teachers saying how they're shocked at this generation of... I was reading a story about a school, I think it was called Emory U, and they
The school or the book?
No, the school is called
Emory University. Yeah.
And there were students who said that they were emotionally damaged from reading 2016 Trump on chalk by people who wrote it with chalk on sidewalks, like they needed emotional counseling.
Now here's the situation with this. Let me explain this to you. This is a new form, not a new form, but an accelerated form of warfare that's being used against the truth tellers in the new media. Okay, you say something or do something or write something, it causes emotional distress.
Yeah.
Expect, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me carefully, okay? Expect to be sued.
These people are offended over simple campaign slogans. But, you know, and reading through these quotes, reading through these comments, one of the teachers explained how, you know, they brought up the issue of transgendered people. If a man says he's a woman, should they have the right to use the woman's bathroom? And what about the other 20 women in that bathroom who might be offended, and the student saying, oh, that's their problem. They're the racists.
Right. It's upside down and backwards. It's twisted around. It's by design. It connects directly to the intentional limiting of communications among people to, we'll say, the 140 characters on Twitter, or the real inane Facebook type of activity, the social media stuff. Now, social media, if used correctly, and this is where Steve and I we have go arounds a little bit. Oh, I'm never going to be on Facebook. Well, no, and I understand that, because I would never put my personal information on Facebook ever, ever, ever. However, if used properly as a tool to spread the word, as a media tool, okay, then it's fine. But don't put what you're having for breakfast or where you went or your schedule or your child's picture on there, for crying out loud. Why would you do that? Why? Can't you pick up the phone? Or better yet, can't you just visit that sister you haven't seen in two weeks that lives three doors down from you? I mean, or whatever. Go ahead, Joe. Sorry.
And, you know, talking about the Muslim migration, and this ties into Ted Cruz, and this is from the Washington Examiner. Cruz push for doubling of immigrants raised again. And plans published or pushed by GOP presidential candidate Senator Ted Cruz under the immigration reform debate in 2013 that would have jumped the number of immigrants, including those from Muslim nations, were raised by Trump campaign Tuesday. Under the Cruz plan, yearly legal immigration would have gone from 740,000 to 1.675 million. His idea was to actually help kill the bill, not boost the numbers. And this is from a quote from Laura Ingram.
Yep.
She said, I was introducing a whole series of amendments in part to demonstrate the hypocrisy of Democrats. So, for example, the Democrats claimed they were supporting high-tech workers, so I introduced an amendment on that. Every Democrat voted against it, which demonstrated that this was all political endeavor for them, and what they were saying was not true. And, you know, we see the racism claims being launched against Trump.
Can we go back to Glenn Beck for a moment?
We can circle that back around.
Go ahead.
But, you know, there has been recently reported that this administration has approved more immigrants from Muslim nations over the next 5 years than the entire population of Washington, D.C. And Russ Dizdar made a great point at the Hear the Watchman conference on Friday. Why are the nations around Syria and Iraq, the Arab nations who share the same values and belief systems as these people, not taking in any of these refugees? Why are they being herded towards Europe and Western European countries and here in the Western United States? And that was, I thought that was just a great question.
Repeat what you just said.
And this is something Russ Dizdar said.
Repeat that question.
You know, Saudi Arabia, a huge landmass. You know, you have all these Arab countries that are surrounding Syria.
Right.
Where are they with their humanitarian help?
Okay.
Instead, they're being pushed towards Europe, towards Western Europe, being poured into the United States. And you're a racist if you say you should, you know, that's not, that shouldn't be. Well, you know, Ted Cruz even on Fox News today said that they should end the Syrian immigration here in the United States, which is something that they've been attacking Trump for. And this goes back to Glenn Beck.
Okay, because I just wanted, the reason I wanted you to circle back to it is, as you had pointed out, he's bashing Christians for voting Trump because and saying
he's not listening to God.
Here is to me the operative word. Now listen to this statement, and folks, correct me if this is misquoted, but I don't believe it is. Evangelicals have not been listening to their God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does that denote a differentiation?
Yes.
Here?
As in that same speech, he twice that I heard, and I didn't hear the whole speech, but he twice referred to the Book of Mormon. He didn't say anything about the Bible.
Right.
He didn't say anything about Jesus Christ.
Correct.
He said the Book of Mormon tells us what time it is. He said something along the lines of, I can change the names in the story and, you know, it all makes sense.
Yes.
Change the names in the Book of Mormon with what's current and it all makes sense. And he called out some of the leadership in the Mormon church, and then he went again to quote the Book of Mormon and followed that by saying evangelicals in the South are not listening to their God.
Right. And that folks, that statement really bothered me. I was up at about 4 o'clock this morning and looking at a number of different things. That statement really bothered me. By the way, speaking of things that bother me, I have a prayer request, okay? If I can just have everyone's attention just for a moment. Author Maria Canise, a dear lady, just a dear lady. Folks, she's, if you go to Amazon, Prepare for Persecution is one of her books. It's one of the best books you can ever have. First part of it is is, you know, outlines the problems. The second part gives us inspiration. But here's my prayer request. Her brother and sister-in-law both were diagnosed with cancer, and their surgeries are scheduled for 2 weeks apart. Meanwhile, their son, married a Wiccan and renounced his religion. And this is a young man who at age 7 accepted Jesus Christ, and at age 8 asked for an adult Bible, and has been such a joy and blessing to the family. And he's renounced his religion, married a Wiccan. Meanwhile, the two parents of this young man, Maria Canisa's brother and sister-in-law, have been diagnosed with cancer, and their surgeries are 2 weeks apart. Please keep Maria Canisa in your prayers, but equally, if not more importantly, please keep her brother and sister-in-law, as well as that young man, in your prayers. Please, she's a dear friend, and she's a dear woman. I just want to throw that out there because, and you know what, folks, there's so many people that we've met, Joe and I both looked in your eyes at the conference. You're struggling. You've got things that only God can take care of. Only God can help. And we want to pray for all of you as well. I mean,
absolutely.
Really. So, okay. I'll just step back.
Hating on Ted Cruz again. Cruz faces backlash for call to patrol and secure Muslims. Republican presidential candidate Ted Cruz is coming under fire from Democrats and progressive groups for comments he made following the terror attacks in Brussels on Tuesday. Senator Charles Schumer, New York Democrat, expected to be the next Senate Democratic leader, slammed Cruz for saying law enforcement should be allowed to patrol and secure Muslim neighborhoods before they become radicalized. That's not what we do in America. We don't take a race, religion, creed, color, and say we're monitoring everybody. We look for terrorism where it is, and we pursue it relentlessly. That is what we should do, and that is why I believe the administration is doing, Schumer told the reporters. Cruz's comments came hours after a series of attacks and killing dozens in Brussels, with the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria quickly claiming credit. Texas Republican said, our European allies are now seeing what comes of a toxic mix of migrants who have been infiltrated by terrorists and isolated radical Muslim neighborhoods, adding that the United States must secure the southern border to prevent terrorist infiltration. Now, it goes on to say civil liberty groups immediately pushed back at Cruz, saying his plan was akin to discrimination. Credo Action political director Murshid Zaid said Cruz and GOP presidential frontrunner Donald Trump are in a race to the bottom to gin up racism-fueled xenophobia. You know, even though there is the obvious flip-flopping from Ted Cruz here, we see, you know, he is facing backlash for saying, you know, patrol and secure Muslims. But what is a country? I mean, you let these people in based on humanitarian reasons, saying that, you know, our foreign policy destroyed their homes and lives, which it did. It played a part. But for something the mainstream media and also a reason and an excuse, not a reason, the excuse and justification for the, you know, protesters and or these people who call themselves protesters who are trying to silence Trump, saying he's racist for not wanting to, for having, you know, more intense screening process and or shutting down the southern border. Ted Cruz is saying the same things that he has attacked Donald Trump for saying, and went on so far as to call him racist, and as I said earlier, even almost blaming him, falling short of saying it's Donald Trump's fault that these attacks in Belgium happened, but saying, is it any coincidence of what he said about withdrawing from NATO? And then, you know, this happening a day or two later, is there a connection?
You know, I don't know if I told you this, Joe, but yesterday when we were at O'Hare Airport, was it yesterday or whatever, mm-hmm. I spoke with a woman who was in Brussels, had a 9-hour layover at Brussels Airport. Guess what airline she was flying on? American Airlines. And this was random, out of the blue, at Chicago's airport, I don't even know why we started talking. And she said, "Yeah, and this is before the terror attacks, but she was flying on American Airlines, and I'm not making this up, okay?" And she was at the, and she said, "You know, I sat in the airport for 9 hours. Oh, you know, I know, because I was kind of squawking about layovers and such, and you know how difficult it is at times to travel." And I thought of that woman this morning, and I thought, you know, just one day, the difference in one day. Think about that. That could be any one of us. And folks, it will be, it can be, I shouldn't say will be, but it certainly can be. Because if you're listening to this and you are in America, can I go for a minute, or do you have...
No.
Okay.
No. We got just 4 minutes. Before,
okay. Then I'll go. I'm going to go for 4 minutes, and I'm going to go quickly, because Islam has invaded this country at the hands of the people in power, at the hands of the globalists. The forces of Muhammad have arrived in America, and the battle for the heart and soul of America is already in progress. It's long in progress. A large army of Muslim terrorists are working at their goal. They're going at it like nobody's business. It's nothing less than converting Americans to Islam and turning America into an Islamic state. And sadly, in this battle, the most powerful nation on earth is losing ground because of people like Glenn Beck. Yes, Glenn, I'm talking to you. And because of people like Ted Cruz. Yes, I'm talking to you. And because of anyone in the alternative media and the new media that is facilitating this, I'm talking to you. Over the last generation, America has welcomed the immigration of Muslims with benign and malignant intentions both. Our historic naivete dictated that we open up the doors, we open the gates without challenging anybody who's knocking at our entrance. Clueless. These people are clueless to their hidden agendas. And we welcome them with open arms, teddy bears and soccer balls and chewing gum. They have no intention of assimilating in this country. The new Islamic invasion, well, I shouldn't say new, the invasion of America is unlike those of the early stages of Islam when they conquered most of the world with a sword. They don't have to do that. They're using our laws against us.
The Pope said the Arab invasion was a good thing for Europe.
Yes, it is. For the globalists, of course.
I guess my point to that is, you know, what we saw today, is that a good thing, Pope Francis?
Get the Nerf bat. Where's the Nerf bat? Oh! Knowing, they know that a military assault would prove fruitless. They are attempting to capture our souls by building political influence and beguiling our citizens to convert to Islam. In this event, America's land and resources will automatically fall to them as an added bonus. That's the intent. The Islamic invasion of America began under, well, it began a long time ago, but it really pushed forward under George Bush. It began with our relationship, of course, with Saudi Arabia and the CIA's creation of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. But the most significant progress began with Bush and certainly has been expedited under Barack Hussein Obama. Now, let me ask each and every one of you hope and change people out there who are probably not listening anyway. Well, maybe. Let me ask every one of you people who thought hope and change would accompany Barack Hussein Obama. When you elected Barack Hussein Obama II, or Barry Satoru, that's his legal name, what did you expect would happen? Because, look, what's being accomplished, the takeover is being accomplished by a large army of activists that have an arsenal consisting of a broad diversity of weapons, folks. Tragically, the most strategic weapons that they possess are the ones we have given them. We gave them the weapons. These weapons are our democratic laws and tolerance for all religions. That's what they are using against us. The coexist bumper stickers, if I see another one, I just might puke. All right. coexist. You cannot coexist. All roads don't lead to heaven. And tolerance? No. No. We need a big dose of intolerance, folks. And we need it now. We need it yesterday.
We are at the top of the hour break, folks. We'll be right back with hour number two, followed by Stan Deo in hour number three on this Tuesday edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Stay with us.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.